Today's statement of faith comes from the letter to the Romans in the first chapter, the first six verses. And this becomes important today because it is mentioned in the message, so we want to pay particular attention to this, wherein the Apostle Paul wrote, "We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong in Jesus Christ, belong to Jesus Christ." The gospel reading today is from the 16th chapter of Matthew, verses 13 through 17, often referred to as Peter's confession of Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Know thyself. That's an ancient saying dating back centuries before Jesus was born, Greek in origin, perhaps dating back into the time of the Israelite kings. There's a Bible version of that statement, know thyself. The Bible version is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, where the apostle wrote, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is Bible wisdom. And the writer of 1 Timothy says that our salvation is at stake. So we should know ourselves by knowing what it is that we believe. We encourage that here at Daleville Christian Church. We have statements of faith, about 20 of them we use and rotate week after week. They tell us, they teach us what it is we claim to believe about God, what we claim to believe about Jesus, what we claim to believe about our salvation. These are important for you to know. These are important so that you can share them with others. The Bible says we should be able to say what it is we believe. It doesn't have to be complicated. Today's scripture focuses on Peter's answer to Jesus' question. Jesus' question is Daleville Christian Church's question anytime anyone comes forward. When anyone comes forward to be baptized or to make their confession of faith, we must ask them, "Where do you stand with regard to Jesus? Who do you say that Jesus is?" It's the very same question that Jesus wanted the answer to from his own 12 disciples. Peter says, "You're the Messiah," or the Christ. Those are the same word, Messiah, Christ. Same word in two different languages, Hebrew and Greek, the languages the Bible was written in. Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." We will spend some time this season talking about what that all means and why it's important. One way that it is important was dramatically demonstrated in the events in Paris, France, this last week. I'll just read you the news from January 7th. Three masked gunmen shouting Allahu Akbar stormed the Paris offices of a satirical newspaper Wednesday, killing 12 people, including its editor, before escaping in a car. It was France's deadliest post-war terrorist attack. The slogan the gunmen shouted while they murdered people was the same slogan that the hijackers on 9/11 used, Allahu Akbar, God is great. I also believe that God is great. However, it is clear that I and the terrorists do not worship the same God. I also believe that God is great. However, it is clear that I and the terrorists do not worship the same God. I am bothered by this report out of Paris for several reasons. This attack was an attack on innocent people. This attack was an attack on freedom. And in some people's minds, the attack was made by religious people. And you know how every time there's gun violence in this country, there's a call for more restrictive gun laws? Well, every time there's an attack or violence where God is claimed, there are those who want to call for restrictions on religion, or for some people, there are calls for the end of religion. And if you don't think that that can happen here, don't kid yourself. Or if you think it can't happen here, don't kid yourself. Clearly, these terrorists were not Christians. I will not take time in the sermon to explain how and why and all the details. That would be for a Sunday school class or a Bible class. What we want to do today and in this series is talk about the words in the Bible that separate us from other religions and look at words that hold us together as Christians. We will talk about words that divide and words that unite. Today's verse is a perfect example. With Peter's confession, Peter joins the ranks of the believers. Peter wants to be the disciple of Jesus, the Messiah. Now, Peter is saying a mouthful by claiming that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. And for that mouthful, I would point you to our affirmation of faith this morning, Romans 1, 1 through 6, the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Messiah is an Old Testament word. A Messiah was promised by God, and we read it in the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus would even open the Scriptures to the disciples to show that these same Scriptures in the Old Testament were talking about him. They were pointing to Jesus. Our affirmation of faith goes on. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it goes on to say that it is because of Jesus that we have been saved. Through whom? That is, through Jesus. We have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith. So we ask someone who has not come to faith to declare their faith, that is, to the living God. Because that too is in the Bible. We ask, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And with your yes, you become a believer and you are to receive the Lord's Holy Spirit to guide you, to help you to become the person that God wants you to be, because you're going to get a new life. Now, when you make that confession of faith or declaration of faith, you separate yourself from millions of people in this world. And there's a little chart in the sermon notes for you about how this statement of faith sorts you out from millions of others in the world. How separated are you? How separated are we by our faith? You can see it there in the chart. We don't notice that separation in this country for a couple of reasons. First of all, the freedom we're supposed to have for any faith or religion or even no religion helps us not notice how we are separated by our faith. And then for 200 years, the Christian faith was about the only game in town in the United States. Well, there were Jewish communities, but nothing like today. The religion landscape is very different today than it was 30 years ago. Today, there's an Islamic center in Muncie, Indiana. I believe that Indianapolis has a Buddhist center as well. No, I stand corrected. There are three Buddhist centers in Indianapolis. There's a Hindu temple of central Indiana in Indianapolis. These people are not far away. They're here. They're our neighbors. Michigan has the largest Muslim population in the United States. And Muslims, or Islam, is the second largest religion in this country. There's nothing wrong with those facts. It's a testament to the freedoms we have. And to me, it's important to know who your God is and what your faith is. Because your faith and your neighbor's faith may not be the same faith. To claim that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, separates you from millions, even billions of people. Now, some will say that Islam or Muslims accept Jesus as a prophet. Well, so did some people claim in Jesus' day. But they were not followers of Jesus. Martin Thielen's book, whose title is quoted for you as a quote for the day, pointed to a point early in Jesus' career when Jesus went to the festival, John chapter 7. There were some in the crowd who said that Jesus was a good man. Others said, no, he's a deceiver. Others considered Jesus a good teacher. Others believed that Jesus was possessed by a demon. But there was also a group in the crowd who asked this question, can it be that this is the Messiah? So the question is Jesus the Messiah or not? Jesus was put on trial, not for what he did. At least that isn't what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that the critical issues were what Jesus was teaching and what Jesus said, especially about himself. At Jesus' trial, Jesus is asked, are you the Messiah? At Jesus' trial, Jesus was asked, are you the Son of God? Jesus' answers brought the trial to an end and brought Jesus' condemnation. But Jesus had been opposed for his words before his trial. In John 6, Jesus said, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And he said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And on hearing it, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And aware that those listening were grumbling about it, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? And then we read in verse 66, from this time many of his followers turned back and no longer followed him. But then John, in his gospel book, in that same chapter, goes on to say, Jesus asked the disciples, do you want to leave too? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know you are the Holy One of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And at this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away. And later on, chapter 8, Jesus said, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word." It's Jesus' teaching about himself is the reason Jesus was put on trial. And Jesus said, "You are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God." It is what Jesus said about himself that brought about his death. It is what Jesus said about himself that brought opposition. So, my friends, please know that your declaration of faith sets you apart from millions of people. That their God is not your God. That the God you claim had an only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it goes on to say that it is because of Jesus that we have been saved, through whom, that is, through Jesus, we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith. You say, our Lord keeps his promises. He promised a Messiah. He promised a way to salvation. And God provided it. God promised to love us and to help us. And he will. And he sent his Son Jesus with the same message. He sent Jesus to be there with us. And then Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to be there with us and for us. All through the promises and all in the name of Jesus Christ, Messiah, our Lord. The terrorists claim that God is great, but their God and our God are not the same God. Now, having talked about what separates us from others, those who claim Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are united. That was Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." We are one, or Jesus intended that we be one. We have our divisions and our disagreements, and we'll talk about those this season, but let us be clear, what should unite us and yet also separates us, divides us from the other religions of the world, Jesus Christ is Lord. One more thing, why is this so important? Well, we'll talk more about this, but the apostle says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, "Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan." Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction so that by following them you may fight the good fight, and holding on to faith and a good conscience. A good conscience not because we're pure, but because of Jesus Christ and his atonement for our sins is what gives us a good conscience, because we are forgiven through Jesus Christ. "But some have rejected these and have shipwrecked their faith." Jesus Christ is Lord. to the glory of God the Father. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen.